Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host. I'm Sean Kane. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Lineup Logic. We have 15 Major League Baseball games going on tonight. A little bit of weather to talk about, some really interesting matchups, some great arms to discuss, some really Well, we have Kershaw, obviously, and then we have a bunch of like A-level arms, some excellent spots for pitchers here. So in the next hour, we'll preview the slate to come in Major League Baseball. We're going to talk matchups. We'll talk spreads. We'll talk Vegas. We'll talk weather. We'll talk all that. I just want to say before we jump too far into the podcast, I want to remind guys of a few things. One is, hey, if you're interested in subscribing to the cheat sheet, head on over to patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 for a month worth of daily cheat sheets, participation in the Slack community, our chat community, where guys are talking DFS plays all day. We're adding to that group all the time. People are talking about where they're at with lineup construction, who they're thinking about playing, whether or not, you know, they like that lineup, different spots on the slate to exploit. It's just really nice to have everybody thinking in the same line. It's a great community of guys, a lot of success being had over there. There's a lot of there's a lot to sort through on these massive slates, and having that kind of a tool at your fingertips is really, really useful. Patreon.com/lineuplogic if you're interested. And hey, as you guys are listening to the pod, please keep in mind, it helps us a lot when you guys review the pod on iTunes, you subscribe, download, follow, all that kind of stuff. And when your lineups are hitting on Twitter, reach out. It's always nice to see that. We're going to get into the slate upcoming, but before we do that, let's go ahead and look back at yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. It was interesting. It was a slate where, there seemed to be some pretty obvious spots. Some really obvious spots. It felt like, okay, the Cubs are kind of in a win-win situation. Greinke is in an excellent situation. And we know Arizona's in a good situation. All that kind of stuff, right? You add all that up, and it turns out it was very interesting. It was the twin stack that was actually the most profitable. The twin stack, the combination of cost and production that you got from throughout that lineup, Dozier, Sano, Kepler. Sano and Kepler both go yard and just hitting the cover off the ball. Kepler almost hit for the cycle. He only missed a triple in there. He had a single, a double, and a homer. Dozier, a single, double, run scored, stolen base. It was a really, really nice night for the really, really nice night for the Twins offense. They put up 14 runs. That game in general was highly stackable, 21 total runs. You had to have some shares of that one for sure. For me, it was very, very interesting. I think ultimately ended up having too many Cubs. The Cubs were underwhelming. Only 4 runs scored. Homers from, Javi and Ben Zobrist. Just solo shots from those guys, which was, fine. But at the same time, not any production from the expensive guys. Arizona stack was good. Goldie went yard. That was really nice to see. Jake Lamb had a nice game, hit a triple, had a walk and one run. That was good. But absolutely blanked by David Peralta. Gregor Blanco was underwhelming. Drury wasn't in the lineup ultimately. Owings underwhelming. It was a night where variance paid off, I think, a little bit. And I think one of the things that we have to look at is we have to continuously remember, as attractive as certain spots are on certain slates, as attractive as the Cubs with the wind blowing out, for example, are, they came with the highest ownership on the slate. They only scored 4 runs. They kind of were a bust, to be completely honest. I mean, unless you had Baez and Zobrist, which wouldn't have made any sense because you had the two and the eight hitter in that lineup. But there's no reason to stack a two and an eight hitter, strangely enough. That would have been just kind of a lucky off chance that you had those two guys. you know, it wasn't ideal, and they were really, really, really spendy. You know, the reverse also is true of pitching. Pineda's performance was fine. He was owned at 30% because people wanted to fit in bats, you know, six innings pitch, six quality start, or excuse me, six Ks, 40 points. That was perfectly fine for Pineda. But Greinke goes out and absolutely destroys with 69 FanDuel points, and he was lower owned. You know, and what we continue to remind ourselves is that pitching is linear, batting is totally variance. You know, yes, we can't expect our bats to do the same things that our arms are going to do. Pitching is so much more predictable and therefore worth our attention. You know, I think one of the things that we have to consider is how many of our lineups on a daily basis, or how much exposure are we going to take to what we would consider the best possible arm and the best possible situation? You know, to be able to get 28 more points out of Zach Greinke versus Michael Pineda is unbelievable. And the Greinke himself would have outscored the Cubs stack, I believe. You know, even if, you know, you had one through four there, I think he would have outscored the Cubs stack in that spot. So, you know, it seems like a complicated idea, but it's complicated from a lineup construction perspective. But I think that we have to consider, you know, how important it is to make sure that we're not necessarily betting on bats. I don't think that is necessarily like it's not predictable. You can bet on arms. Now, there are lineups, I think, where it's appropriate, where you bet on your bats first and then you fill in your arm at the afterwards. But I think that one of the things that I continue to see is that my best performances, you know, and I had a span of numbers all the way from, you know, all the way from 100 to 200, basically. 100 to 206 was my twin stack. And then all the way down at the bottom of the barrel was my Cubs and Astros stack. You know, two of the best offenses in baseball, Cubs and Astros, and just absolutely couldn't perform. And so, you know, you're going to waste a perfectly good amount of salary on high priced bats when you could be looking for value bats in a good spot who, you know, can produce just as many runs. I mean, that was the highest scoring game on the slate, but it wasn't the highest owned game on the slate. And that's when you really have to make sure that you have those exposures in there. That the Minnesota Baltimore stack was really, really nice, and not overpay and overextend yourself for bats that you feel like are going to be chalky and be highly owned. So, you know, it was an interesting spot. I think there's still a lot to learn. The thing that I continue to come back to is I want my arms. I want my arms. You know, I'm going to take some chances on arms, but the majority of my lineups, I'm going to be looking for the best possible K upside that there is, because it just is so much more productive and predictable than bats are. And I think that we have to continuously remind ourselves of that in MLB DFS. So with that said, let's jump into tonight and let's look at the games that we have this evening. All right, Tuesday slates are always monstrous. So we have 15 games on the main slate. First one I am seeing here, which I don't know why, but I'm seeing it as the first game listed. I don't think it should be the first game listed because it's, 7:05 Eastern time. Giants, Cubbies, 7 runs projected here, and a lot of weather 30-40% chance of rain, and it gets worse throughout the game. It goes up to 60-70-80% chance of rain in the 9 to 11 o'clock hour. So Johnny Cueto versus John Lester, 7 runs, like I said, projected in this one. Lester the favorite here. I love Lester in this spot. The combination of the fact that it's 59 degrees in Wrigley, the wind is blowing in ever so slightly. It's a kind of a nasty night. Lester's numbers have been running very clean. His price is very reasonable. And the Giants' offense is very underwhelming against left-handed pitching. If this weather improves at all from a rain standpoint, I'm definitely looking at Lester as one of my favorite arms in the slate. Mariners Nationals, Christian Bergman going up against Joseph Ross. This one has a lot of rain problems, 60% chance throughout, and that rain gets worse. So we know the Nationals' history with canceling games just because of a little rain. Mariners Nats series should be an interesting one. There's definitely going to be reasons to like the Nationals in various different spots, and there's certainly reason to like the lefties here against Bergman, who has shown some decent signs, but not a lot, not a lot. And Joseph Ross, kind of mediocre at best in his starts as well. But I just don't think this game is going to play. A lot of rain in the forecast. Rockies, Phillies, 8.5 runs projected here in this one. Wind is blowing out just a touch. It's 71 degrees in Philadelphia. A little drizzle in the air, but it really doesn't look bad. It's about 10-15% chance of rain there. So I think we're all systems go. Hermann Marquez against Zach Eflin. Rockies are favored here. Hermann Marquez got a half run advantage over Eflin. We are definitely interested in the Rockies. Their numbers say they're not that great against right-handed bats. And then last night, the Rockies stack was one of my favorite stacks. I threw out a miniature Rockies stack with just the lefties from the outfield. Just literally Blackman, Cargo, and Parra. Just the lefties against Jared Eichhoff. And sure enough, Charlie Blackman has a huge day. And Arenado, frustrating. I didn't put him in there. Went yard late in that game against the Phillies bullpen, which is absolutely terrible, guys. Phillies bullpen really bad, so very interested in the Rockies. We're always looking at bullpen numbers. By the way, if you want to find bullpen numbers, Fangraphs.com. Go to Fangraphs. Look up at the top of the page. Go to leaders, pitching leaders, and then select teams and select relievers. So pitching leaders, 2017, relievers. And then I usually sort by Sierra, or I sort by XFIP, or I will go over to the batted ball profile and sort by hard contact or home run to fly ball rate, all those kinds of things that you like to see. How bad is a pitcher, or how bad are a group of arms? And, you know, Seattle's up there. Seattle's very much up there, as is Detroit and some other names. So that's the kind of thing you can get a little advantage on your competition by paying attention to. So that definitely interested in the Rockies bats here in Philadelphia in Great American Ballpark, or not Great American, in Citizens Bank. 8.5 runs projected for Royals Yankees. Danny Duffy going up against Jordan Montgomery. Montgomery is the favorite in this one. Duffy pitched a gem against the Yanks in Kauffman Stadium, very interestingly. He really showed some muscle there. Went out for 61 fantasy points against a team that, you know, certainly hits left-handed pitching. So very interesting to see how he responds here. I'm not going to pitch him. In fact, part of me thinks that he could be due for some regression because he gives it up to right-handed bats, and we've seen that. But at the same time, his swinging strike rate is excellent right now. So I don't really know what to make of Danny Duffy, to be honest, in this game. Jordan Montgomery also with an excellent swinging strike rate, but his splits at home do not do him a lot of favors. So not terribly interested in him. Minnesota versus Baltimore. This series continues with a lot of rain in the forecast, pretty much 50% chance all the way from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. So kind of a nasty night in Camden. 9 runs projected for Irvin Santana versus Dylan Bundy. And Bundy is the favorite here. Vegas is basically telling us that Santana's early season success was not real. And they clearly like the Orioles lefties here in this spot. So interesting for sure. And Bundy has been good, not great, I guess is the way to say it. I think it'll be interesting to see him round into form. And if he can get back to kind of the end of where he was last year as he settles into this season, because he's had some decent numbers, but had some bad ones too. LA versus Tampa Bay, 8.5 runs projected here. Shoemaker versus Alex Cobb. And Vegas is telling you a lot when they favor the Rays here at home. They're saying the bats are too much to mess with, and Shoemaker's hard contact and batted ball profile is not good. It's not good. And I actually agree with Vegas in this spot. I think that people will look at Shoemaker just kind of as a name and stay away from the Rays. But why are you going to stay away from the hottest hitter in baseball and Corey Dickerson? Tell me who's hotter. The man basically hits home runs every single day. Tell me who's hotter. It's not Aaron Judge. He's cooled off. Maybe Miguel Sano. Tell me who's hotter. Rack your brain. Rangers Red Sox, 9 runs projected here. Andrew Cashner versus Rick Porcello. Porcello, the heavy, heavy favorite. And Porcello, very interesting in this spot for sure. Oh, gosh, I really like him. I really like his price. I love his numbers, except his batted ball data. His batted ball data just tilts the hell out of me, and we've seen him get hit. He gives up a ton of hits. He gave up a ton of hits to the Cardinals in that last start. He gave up a ton of hits to the Rays. He gassed the Yankees. He gassed the Blue Jays and the Twins. But, like, I just don't know what you're going to get from Rick Porcello, especially against the Rangers lefties. There are lefties in this lineup that can hit right-handed pitching, and Vegas is hammering the Red Sox. Vegas loves the Red Sox because they're going up against Andrew Cashner. Now, Cashner, his numbers are bound for some regression. But at the same time, he has gotten deep into a lot of games and really, really not been someone that we're stacking against. I mean, you know, I just don't know what to say. Like, we continue to stack against him, but the man just doesn't give up that many runs. He really doesn't. He hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs. He's only given up 3 earned runs in one start this year. He has gotten into the 6th inning in each of his last 5 starts, and he doesn't strike anybody out. His batted ball profile isn't overwhelming. You know, the Red Sox don't strike out, but he's not walking anybody either. It's very interesting how efficient Cashner is right now, and I'm just not that interested in the Red Sox. And in fact, public money is saying the same thing. Public money is saying the exact same thing. A lot of bets coming in on Texas saying this is a weak line. So it's very interesting to see that as well. That tells you a lot about what bettors and sharps are thinking about Texas's chance against Porcello. Cleveland versus Cincinnati, 8.5 runs projected here. Carrasco versus Garrett. Carrasco, the heavy favorite. Amir Garrett, just really not really sharp start, but not been excellent lately of late. Scott Feldman pitched a gem last night, and I took a chance on him just for fun because I was like, you know what? I think Feldman's got a game in him, and he did. He struck out 3 in the first inning, and he kept rolling from there. Only gave up 1 solo dinger. So really, really nice game for him. But I just don't see the same thing happening for Amir Garrett here. Carrasco should be in a really nice spot. I'll talk about him. He's not my favorite pitcher at that price point. I mean, 10-3 for him or 10-3 for John Lester. It's certainly John Lester in my mind. Padres, Mets, 8 runs projected here as Julius Chacin goes up against Matt Harvey. Mets are favored. And that must be because Vegas likes the lefties here against Chacin, Conforto, Bruce, Duda, all healthy, all in the lineup. So they must be saying it's time for the Mets to go ahead. It's actually a nice night in Citi Field, 71 degrees, 40% humidity. So a decent night for baseball there. This game is not my least favorite game in the world. Not my least favorite game. Matt Harvey gives up bad barrel numbers, lots of contact. Do you want to stack the Padres on the road in Citi Field? Not really. But the Mets are interesting against Chacin. I mean, but Chacin at the same time, Chacin has actually been very efficient. He's been very efficient. It's unbelievable. I mean, he went out and put up 46 fantasy points against Milwaukee. You know, like, the guy just, yeah, I mean, good gracious. He has had six games this season where he has had, that's 6 of 9 games this season where he's had 5 or more Ks. Wow. Way to go, Julio Chacin. Interesting. Interesting. He's only 6.9. Pirates Braves, 9.5 runs projected here. Glasnow versus Dickey. Interesting spot for sure. Both sides are in play. Vegas has it as a pick'em. And this is a ton of runs because poor Tyler Glasnow, as good as his strikeout stuff is, dude cannot just stop walking people. He just can't. He can't. And the Braves are, you know, not an incredibly disciplined team, but hey, Matt Adams back in the lineup last night, makes his Braves debut, hits a dinger, closes out the game for the Braves. Really, really, really nice to see him playing everyday baseball, which was kind of what he said, you know, to the media. He was like, this is great. I get to play every day. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that I get to play. I'm thrilled to be a Brave. You know, there's just not enough. There wasn't enough space in St. Louis for him. So good for him getting to play, even though, you know, it's an unfortunate situation for Freddie Freeman. Pirates against Dickey are interesting. The only guys who really have BVP against Dickey as a knuckleballer are Freeze and Cervelli. So definitely could take a look at them. And again, BVP you want to look at just because knuckleballs are such a strange animal to hit. So I don't know. Cervelli is a one-off catcher. Maybe. Yeah. Why not? Right. And, you know, because the righty, righty, lefty, just the splits don't really matter in that sense. So, and Dickey's been getting hit, but then again, he pitched a gem against the Nats the other night, and I was all on the Nats. So I don't know. But a nice night for baseball in Atlanta for sure. It's 73 degrees, 73% humidity. So that ball could be moving. I think I favor the Braves lefties in this one because I know what Glasnow is, whereas with Dickey, I don't really know what I'm going to get, especially with the Pirates. I don't know what I'm going to get. Blue Jays Brewers, 9 runs projected here. Biagini versus Nelson. Definitely a spot for the Brewers lefties. You know, Thames and Shaw back home. You know, they long road trip. People were banged up. You kind of want to see the Brewers offense click back into place here and just kind of be what we saw them in April be. You know, they're kind of a 500 team right now. So Biagini versus Nelson. Vegas likes Nelson just a hair, but it's more or less a pick 'em. You know, and Nelson is interesting for sure. The guy has had some really, really great games and then some really, really bad ones. You look at his game logs and you're just like, God, talk about scattered. I was trying to solve this kid last night, and I just couldn't. You know, he's got, like, in some of his games, his slider is just absolutely filthy, and then he just loses it completely in others. I have no idea. Pitched a gem against San Diego and against Boston, but, like, you know, can't get out of his own way against Atlanta. Like, what does that tell you? I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know about this guy, he's interesting to me because he seems to be trending in the right direction. You know, then again, so are the Blue Jays. So are the Blue Jays bats. So, you know, I don't know. Tigers, Astros, 8.5 runs here. Jordan Zimmermann, gas can extraordinaire, going up against Lance McCullers. Guys, you know me. I love the Astros. I hate Jordan Zimmermann. I don't hate him. But Lance McCullers is the biggest favorite on the slate. Even with Kershaw, he is the biggest favorite on the slate because Zimmermann is so bad. And the Astros offense is so good. You know, Fulmer pitched a gem against them last night, but they still got on him. They still kept getting on base, putting pressure on the base paths. You know, every time I looked up, there are base runners in Houston, and God, Zimmerman doesn't stand a chance. Doesn't stand a chance down there. Can't wait to stack the Astros. Love them. White Sox, Diamondbacks, 10.5 runs projected here. Dylan Covey against Patrick Corbin. The Diamondbacks are projected for a slate high 6 runs. What does that tell you about Dylan Covey? He's bad. And the Diamondbacks offense is filthy, filthy hot right now. Love them in this spot. Covey, poor kid, is going to get blown up. Don't know what else to say. But also, don't sleep on the White Sox versus a lefty. They are getting 4.5 runs here in this one. And let's be honest, Jose Abreu and Avisaíl García can hit lefties. That's it. Bottom line. Bottom line. These guys can hit lefties. So a little bit of White Sox exposure is definitely granted. And don't touch Patrick Corbin. I'm not touching Patrick Corbin because, I mean, geez Louise. Abreu, García, and Davidson, all WOBAs above 350, all ISOs above 220, okay, this season against left-handed pitching. So, you know, the guys can hit, so don't sleep on them in Chase Field. I got a little bit risky in one of my lines with them last night, threw them in there, just said, you know what, maybe they'll get to Granky. They didn't get to Granky. Granky got to them, but hey, Sometimes you take chances. We take chances in this game. Marlins, A's, 8.5 runs projected here. Wind blowing out to right field. Hello, left-handed Athletics hitters facing Jose Urena. Yeah, definitely interested in some lefties in this game. Only 63 degrees, but a little bit of wind blowing out is certainly nice for that big ballpark. So I have some interest in the cheap lefties at the top of the lineup here for the Athletics, just to try and get him some salary relief. Okay, and if Yonder Alonso is back from his knee thing, where we had been seeing Chad Pinder get in there and Ryan Healy and all that kind of thing, so we'll see what this lineup looks like for Oakland. But you know, whenever you need salary relief, I always come knocking at the Athletics door. Miami, interesting, but they're just kind of cold right now. The only guy that I think I could have a lot of interest in is Justin Bour, who's just been tearing the cover off the ball, and lefty righty here. And Bour versus righties has been absolutely excellent. I mean, he had homers in a number of those games in that Dodgers series. He's got a 264 ISO. I mean, we know Ozuna as well is a reverse splits guy. So, you know, Bour, Ozuna definitely in play, I think, in this one, if you want to get a little Miami exposure. And really, I don't think they'll come highly owned. I don't. I think that's an excellent tournament play. In fact, I'm making a mental note to do a little Bour, Ozuna action. St. Louis, LA, Dodgers, Lance Lynn going up against Clayton Kershaw. And guys, I'm sorry, I lied. Lance McCullers is not the heaviest favorite on the slate. It is CK, Mr. Kershaw. And guys, I kind of think it is one of those situations where it's almost like you have to play him. Vegas is only projecting St. Louis for 2.6 runs, which tells you so much. They don't usually drop below 3. This is an unbelievable number to see from them. And it's because Kershaw's splits at home are filthy. It's because the Cardinals are meh against left-handed pitching, like kind of average at best. And the Dodgers are excellent against righties, and Lance Lynn is terrible against lefties. So all that adds up to love the Dodgers, including CK. All right, so that's it. 15 games. Weather concerns in Chicago, DC, Baltimore, and great weather conditions in Chase Field. Great weather conditions in, not great weather conditions in Atlanta, but good, where it's one of the warmer nights down there. Warm night in Cincinnati as well. And warm night in New York. Warm night in New York, too. 70 degrees in New York. That's pretty good for this slate. And Philly, that kind of northeastern corridor has some warm weather coming in there as well. So not the worst spots there in the northeast for some warmer weather, which is something we got to start to pay attention to, because every once in a while you're going to get a game part of the country where there's a heat wave and 85, 90 degrees one night, and you got to bump your bats up there, because when it gets that warm, you know, in other parts of the country, you're only 75 or 80 degrees. You got to think about that. All right, let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Obviously, guys, top of the slate, it starts with CK. Kershaw, 12-6. He's going to get in St. Louis at home. He's got a K rate of 26%, walk rate of 3%. He's allowing a BABIP of 355, which actually is pretty high for him and comparatively high to the rest of the slate. But it's pretty average. You know, it's not like outlierishly bad, but it is high for CK, for Kershaw. XFIP of 2.9 and a Sierra of 3.0. It's all there. The only thing that he's missing is the swinging strike rate, which is obviously a concern. He should be your leader for swinging strike rate on the slate, his leader for the year. It's just not the case. He's behind at least five guys. Carrasco, McCullers, Duffy, Shoemaker, and Montgomery all are slightly ahead. It says a lot. I think that says a lot. You know, Kershaw has been unbelievably good forever. People are constantly missing the bat with him. So the strikeout rate is there. The question that you have to ask yourself is, are you going to pay 12-6? 12-6, you may get just as many Ks out of one of the guys in the 10K range, okay? You may get just as many Ks out of one of the guys in the 9 or 10K range who have equally good strikeout stuff, given their matchups, given everything else. However, are you guaranteed the win and the quality start with Kershaw? And are you guaranteed the possibility of limiting the damage against St. Louis in Dodger Stadium? I think those kinds of things add up, you know, to possibly, you know, the security feels good, I think, you know. And if I'm debating the security between a Lance McCullers versus Clayton Kershaw, for example, you know, it's very clearly lies with Kershaw. McCullers is absolutely filthy. He's a massive home favorite. I love McCullers. He's going to talk about him in just one second. But there's one thing that stands out in his matchup that you kind of don't worry about, or you do worry about. So I think the thing that gives me a little bit of faith is that, you know, Kershaw at home is that much better than Kershaw on the road. His K rate jumps to 30% at home. His walk rate goes down to 1.9. Something really works for him in Dodger Stadium. I think it's a combination of just comfort and, you know, the fact that he knows how to pitch that arena, and he knows how to work the ball in there, and he knows what the ball is going to do, you know, given weather and everything like that, being so consistent. So I think you don't overthink it. I think if you can pay for Kershaw, you do it. But if you want to pivot and you want to go down, I actually think Kershaw, by the way, because of his cost and GPPs, I think people will probably be like, no, I want my bats. That's fine. But if one of your stacks, you know, kind of flops like the Cubs did last night, it kind of flops, then you're going to want those, you know, 15, 20 extra points from Kershaw. I think you could go to McCullers, though. McCullers is just an animal, and it's a good spot with leverage. I think some people might be scared of his matchup with Detroit, and that's good. You know, that's good logic, because Detroit is one of the hardest hitting teams against right-handed pitching in the league. His swinging strike rate right now, though, 12.1%. His K rate is 27%. His walk rate is 6%. XFIP of 2.6. It's just unbelievable. Sierra of 2.9. 3-1 ground ball to fly ball ratio. That stat just turns me on. That's the best on the slate. It's really nice. The Tigers, like I said, one of the hardest hitting teams against right-handed pitching. They are striking out at a 22% rate, but they do also have an above average walk rate. But McCullers beats them in both of those departments. He has a better strikeout rate and a better walk rate than the Tigers do against right-handed pitching. Similar to Kershaw, much better at home. His numbers take a jump. Also, just for the record, guys, pitchers at home generally do take a jump. They're more comfortable and they take a jump, especially when pitchers are on a home stand. That research was done by Jonathan Bales of Fantasy Labs in his book, Fantasy Baseball for Smart People. It's just really fucking great read. Just awesome, interesting nuggets of information everywhere. really, really worth your time. An ebook, just a great read. I read it. Super interesting. And it makes sense. You know, logically, this narrative makes sense as well. Why would a pitcher be more comfortable at home? Well, they know the park. They know its flaws. They get the crowd support. They are in a comfortable routine in a homestand. They go to the park, they're with their family, they do all that kind of stuff. You know, pitchers are creatures of habit. It makes total sense to me. So I love the Astros. You guys know that. If you listen to this podcast, I pretty much talk about the Astros four times a week. And McCullers, he's definitely part of that. I have no problem with McCullers. I think I will have some McCullers. If Lester can go, though, I like Lester a lot. And I'm not a person who often advocates for Lester. But we got to talk about this. First of all, this is some of the best baseball pitching weather on the slate. It's only 60 degrees. It's wet. The wind is blowing in and Wrigley. That's all good stuff for pitchers, okay? That's really nice. And Lester is his numbers are kind of what you see is what you get. Xip 3.5, Sierra 3.8. His walk rate is a little bit higher, but it's still below average. It's a little bit higher than last year, but it's still below average. It's only like 6%. Swinging strike rate is there. His K rate is there. Everything is very consistent with his career averages, okay? Hard contact, 24%, and fly ball rate, 27%. Those are some of the best on the slate right here. Those are better than almost everybody else on the slate. 54% ground ball rate, that is excellent. His BABIP is elevated, okay? But, you know, so is Kershaw's. We talked about that. And his splits are clean between light and right, lefties and righties. There's no concern there. It's the same versus both. It's exactly what you see is what you get. Like, you expect John Lester to do something specific against the Giants, he's probably going to go out and do it because the Giants are 25 in WRC plus and dead last in hard contact against left-handed pitching. It very much lines up. I love Lester in this spot if we get this game to go. The problem is the rain may not cooperate, and it's a high-risk, high-reward situation. Now, last night, you know, Kevin Roth and the weather guys were saying that game may not go. Be careful about Chicago. Well, it goes, and it plays full nine innings, you know what I mean? So who knows? A 50-50 chance, the rain starts to decrease, we start to get a little bit more positivity surrounding the fact that that game's going to go. Lester may be one of my top arms on the night. Now, I know a lot of people are going to look at Rick Porcello and Carlos Carrasco. They're really appealing, and I looked into them a lot. There is K upside in both of these guys. Let's be very clear. I have no problem with them. That's not true. I don't have no problem. I like them, but then I have a problem. Does that make sense? I like them, and then I have a problem. And so I can't, you know, say, like, well, there's nine different pitchers on this slate that you want to start. Here's my problem with Porcello, okay? Well, let's talk about Porcello and Carrasco together. You think about Porcello, Texas has a higher K rate than Cincinnati, so that's nice, okay? Good, that's a bump for Porcello. But they also have a higher hard contact rate. Well, that's okay, minus one. Carrasco has better batted ball data than Porcello. Porcello actually has the highest hard contact rate. It's above 45%. He has the highest hard contact rate on the slate tonight. I mean, we're talking about higher than Jordan Zimmermann, higher than Matt Shoemaker, higher than all of these guys who are the Dylan Covey, like higher than all of them. He has the highest hard contact rate on the slate. He also has an elevated, fly ball rate. I just can't necessarily trust Porcello in Texas against those left-handed bats. I watched him in that St. Louis game. The dude gets hit. He gets hit hard. And the Braves blew him up. Like, I just don't necessarily know what you're going to get from Ricky Porcello. And if I had seen, I think I just know too much. And you know what? The fact that their public money is hammering Texas right now, and that line is moving, that's a lot. That tells you a lot. As far as Carrasco, Cincinnati actually just doesn't strike out that much. And you add to that it's a really nice night for baseball in that small ballpark. I think Carrasco could have an excellent game. But let's remember he got blown up by the Rays in his last start. I just don't know. You add to that he's got an injury. you know, he's got like, he was dealing with some pectoral injury and he says he's good to go. Do I want to pitch an injured Carlos Carrasco against a team that has an above average walk rate and a very mediocre K rate in a small ballpark in some of the best weather on the slate? I just don't think I do. Like, give me John Lester. Same price. Give me Lance McCullers. Same price. Better stuff. You know, it just doesn't, I just don't think it adds up to be a Carrasco night. Now, if you're looking to spend down, and I know people will because there's a lot of really sweet bats on this slate, I get it. And I'm going to give you some names, but I'm going to let you guys do the research. I'm not going to say that I recommend any of these guys. If you want a recommendation for me, my fucking recommendation is Clayton Kershaw, all right? Cy Young, go with the guy who has lots of trophies. Because he throws baseballs hard. Germán Márquez is interesting to me. He's shown some killer upside. He really had. I mean, he had an 8K game. He's had two 8K games this year. Philadelphia, very unimpressive right now against right-handed pitching. I mean, the last night, Trevor Hoffman did some work against them. He's not giving up a lot of hard contact. He's not getting a lot of Ks, but you know, not regularly getting a lot of Ks, but he's definitely survived. He's definitely survived worse situations because, like, he pitched most of his games in Coors. You know, in Citizens Bank Park is, I think there's a lot to like about Márquez. Now, that said, it's risky because, you know, there's only so much of a sample size that we're working with here, and those Philadelphia bats can wake up at any second. They've just kind of shown us that this year. They blow up for 10 runs one game, and then they'll just can't do anything. Jordan Montgomery is interesting. He has filthy strikeout numbers, just some of the best. Like, he's at the top of the list of swinging strike rate and K rate. Here's one of the things, though. One of his splits that really concerns me is his fly ball rate at home. Specifically, his fly ball rate at home to lefties, it's like 40%. That's not good for Yankee Stadium. And that is good for the Royals bats. Because if they have anything, it's Mike Moustakas. And it's, to a lesser degree, Eric Hosmer. You know, like, I just don't know. The Royals are kind of like hanging around. They're pesky. In Montgomery, his last start against the Yankees, I think they just played this series, right? So he just pitched against them, if I remember correctly. Oh, wow. No, here I am talking about, oh yeah, Jordan Montgomery. Sorry, I was looking at Danny Duffy's numbers. Montgomery against the Royals. Yeah, he got shelled. And that was in Kauffman. You know, I mean, he gave up 5 earned runs and guess who dingered off of him? Moustakas. He's got a problem with lefties, which is weird because he's a lefty and he has great K stuff. I don't know, but I don't know if I'm touching him. There's a Yankee Stadium scares me. That place can start to get moving and it's getting warmer and yeah, 71 degrees tonight, 40% humidity. That's not perfect baseball weather, but it's getting better. It's better than a lot of other spots on this slate. The only other guy that I'm possibly interested in, and I kind of wanted to like him a lot last night when I was digging deep into some of the numbers, but I don't know that I can, is Jimmy Nelson, because Toronto is kind of heating up and Justin Smoke alone makes me a little bit worried because Nelson has really shown some flashes here. I mean, now, okay, one of the big flashes came against the freaking San Diego Padres, but just before that, he drilled the Red Sox, which is impressive. And every once in a while, Toronto can go cold. I just don't know which Jimmy Nelson you're going to get. Like, I don't know if you're going to get the 4 innings in, he's given up 8 hits, and, you know, he's given up 8 hits and a ton of hard contact, and there's, you know, base runners all over the place. Or is he going to just go out there and, you know, deal and have a 14% swinging strike rate, which is what he showed in the San Diego game. So Jimmy Nelson is interesting, but not, I don't know. Do the research. You look into him, guys. Germán Márquez, Montgomery, Jimmy Nelson. Look into him. If you want to spend way down, and Porcello to a lesser degree. Porcello as well. I mean, I think Porcello is going to be a popular option. By the way, don't touch Matt Shoemaker. Just don't do it. If he goes out and he scores 50 fantasy points, great. Good job, Matt Shoemaker. I'm the Matt Shoemaker truther. I think his batted ball data reveals something that is just not trustworthy. He's kind of like Porcello to me. There's something wrong there. His xFIP is way too high, and his batted ball data, you know, there's swing, there's good K stuff there, but it just, the Rays, man. The Rays against righties. Nope. All right. Let's talk bats. This isn't going to be very original, but I got to talk about it. It's Arizona versus Dylan Covey. Whoop-de-whoop. Highest run total on the slate. Obviously, you probably could have done this math yourself. It's not hard. Chase Field, it's the best ballpark on the slate. They're one of the best teams in the MLB right now at hitting right-handed pitching. Covey is bad. He only has a 12% K rate. He has a 10% walk rate. His xFIP and Sierra are 5.4. His splits against right-handed bats are even worse than his splits against left-handed bats, which doesn't make sense, but I think it's a point where we can leverage the field. He walks more righties than lefties. He gives up 40 and 40 hard contact fly ball rate to righties. Paul Goldschmidt should be in almost every one of your lineups. God, I wish AJ Pollock was playing too. But I think that's maybe one of the ways you differentiate. Everybody's going to see Dylan Covey. Oh, he's a bad righty. Give me Lamb and Peralta. Yeah, obviously I want Jake Lamb. I want some Jake Lamb exposure. Don't get me wrong. Peralta, sure, he's cheap. But I think that if you stack the righties, you might get just as good results at a little bit lower ownership. Goldschmidt is so expensive, it's hard to fit him in. Okay. And then you have some inexpensive righties as well. You got Drury, you got Blanco, you have Owings. You know, I think that's the way to do it. I think that's the way to do it, to be completely honest with you, is you try to maybe get a little bit of differentiation. And when you have a really, really good spot like this, okay, and I'm going to talk about this with the Houston stack, there is benefit to stacking 4 through 7. All right. And I'll talk about this with the Houston stack, not just going 1 through 4. Yes, you want 1 through 4, but if you're making multiple lineups, you can also take some 4 through 7 in there as well. Okay. Or maybe go just that middle, that 3 through 6 or something like that. I think you get a little bit of ownership leverage there. All right. Houston opposite of Jordan Zimmermann. We've been stacking against Zimmermann all year. Batted ball data is brutal. He's going to see the best team in the league against right-handed pitching. This is simple, simple math. He only has the worst, one of the worst bullpens in the league right behind him. So if you believe it, his heart, poor guy, his fly ball and his hard contact rate actually went up since his last start. I don't know how that happens, but it did. Probably Chase Field doesn't help. His numbers are really bad against right-handed bats and left-handed bats. So give me 1 through 4, the classic characters, the Springers, the Reddicks, the Altuves, the Correas. And then I'm stacking 5 through 8 too. You better believe I'm going to have some 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and then maybe a little 3 through 6 as well. No problem with that as well. Okay. So here's an example of why the back half stack works. Okay. Last night, 1 through 4 in the Cubs. We all had him. We all knew what the ownership was. 20, 25, 30% in GPPs. That's massive. It's massive for a 9-game slate into baseball. Like, that's a huge number for baseball, okay? I had a 6, 7, 8 stack of the Cubbies as well, okay? Because they were significantly cheaper, and I needed positionally to fill in, and I wanted exposure to the whole lineup. I like the top of the lineup, so I should like the bottom of the lineup. Jason Hayward in the 7 spot was owned at 2%. If people were so high on the Cubs, why are we so low on the other half of that lineup? Obviously, we understand that in cash games, you want all those plate appearances. That, you know, 5 plate appearances versus 4 plate appearances is a massive difference. I get it. I'm not going to doubt that at all. Like, there's no reason for me to even question that. That is a proven idea in baseball DFS. That said, if you're very high on a team and you're in a tournament, you also need that ownership. And if you really, really don't like this pitcher and you're willing to stack against him with the top of the lineup, that has to mean that the guys in the bottom of the lineup, even if they're not as productive as hitters, are going to have an equally good opportunity, because every single hit and every single walk that's acquired is going to increase the chances of the bottom of that lineup getting up to bat. So I think that in the Astros case, I love the bottom of this lineup. Marwin Gonzalez, Bregman, Gattis, Yuli Gurriel, if he's back from injury. I like all those guys. Take a look. Keep your eyes on 5 through 8 in the Astros lineup here for sure. And don't sleep on Carlos Beltran either. He can still hit the ball out of the park. He actually had a barrel alert for a fly ball last night, which was, those barrel alerts where you get the fly ball out. You're like, oh no. Anyway. All right. Moving on to the Grout. Three teams that I really like that probably will come a little bit lower owned than the, Diamondbacks. The White Sox against Corbin. Okay, Corbin, yes, he's shown some good stuff. Yes, we like Corbin a little bit as a prospect. He's got some interesting numbers on him. He's pretty much league average right now. But the White Sox are too good against left-handed pitching for us to fade them at Chase Field. Best ballpark on the slate. They're too good against left-handed pitching. I know they're tilting. I know they're tilting. But, guys, there is some power in this lineup. There is power in this lineup, and they are definitely going to come lower owned than the Diamondbacks. And I think that it's very interesting to me to stack. Last night, obviously, against Granke, people weren't really stacking them, but they only came at like 2% ownership. I had them, I have to say. I had to try it. Corbin, very average numbers. Nothing stands out. But there are some positives here. And it's good because he struggles against righties. It's truly. His line drive rate goes up. His hard contact goes up. His home run rate goes up. All against right-handed bats. The righty stack for Chicago in play. Garcia, Cabrera, Abreu, Garcia, Frazier, Davidson. All those guys, depending on what you see from the lineup, very much in play. Now, there's some injuries here and there. So they kind of been sneaking Yomar Sanchez up in the top of the lineup. So we'll see what that looks like. Keep your eye on the White Sox lineup, but obviously the core of what you want to do here is Abreu and Garcia and probably Matt Davidson over Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier just been kind of lackluster. Davidson has shown some sneaky power upside, and he's cheap. He's a cheap first baseman power. So, definitely interested in those guys. I think the other spot that we have to look out, and they're not cheap. They're not cheap, but it's the Rockies. I love the Rockies right now. And on the road, the Rockies are really fun too, because they're just kind of not as obvious as the as when they're in cores. Zach Efron. I don't know if you guys know him. Zach Efron, pitcher for the Phillies. great actor. He's acting like a fucking major league pitcher is what he's acting like. Because he's not really pitching that well. Poor Eflin. He can't strike out a soul. All right. And lefties are really getting to him like bad ways. The splits are not there. Charlie Blackmon, very good at baseball. Excellent beard and hair. I know that's the kind of analysis you guys come here for. Cargo, underpriced. I know he's kind of been like a tilting. Like all the fantasy outlets are like, is it time to bail on Carlos Gonzalez? No, it's not time to bail on Carlos Gonzalez. No, why? Give me one reason that 25 to 30% of the way through the season, you're going to bail on one of the best power hitters when the best weather at Coors is upcoming in your season long leagues. Give me a break. Obviously, if you don't have a lot of bench spots, then maybe. But like, no, the best weather in Coors is yet to come. He's going to regress. He's too cheap right now. He was hitting last night. Get him in your lineup. Cargo, he's too cheap. Be on the Cargo bandwagon when this all starts to go right. The weather in Philadelphia is nice. It's a great park. Also, Arenado, reverse splits, right-handed pitching. He hits it just as well as lefties. And guess who had a really nice game last night against Eichhoff? Tony Walters, the catcher. He's a lefty. In an RBI double, another hit. I had him as a punt catcher in a couple of my lineups. He's 2,400. I think Tony Walters is a great, cheap punt catcher in this spot. You expect this lineup to turn over quite a bit. Give me some Walters. Also, Dodgers. Dodgers against Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn is old. Lance Lynn is terrible against left-hand bats. Against left-handers, he's very good against right-handers. His numbers are very respectable. But against left-handed bats, he has a matching walk rate and K rate of like 13%. That's not good. He has a 45% fly ball rate to left-handed bats. This is the best left-handed team in Major League Baseball. It's not hard. Well, besides the Rays. Rays Truther meeting starts at noon, by the way. This isn't hard. I mean, we know. We see the righty on the mound against the Dodgers. We immediately start to investigate, and we got to look here. It's the Seager, Bellinger, Yasmani, maybe Jock Peterson. I don't know. Maybe Chase Utley if he's up in the lineup. I don't know. We'll see. But we are definitely back on and back in love with the Dodgers. And one really interesting thing that I think you can do, I think that what we can do is we can look at possibly doing, Kershaw as part of your stack with your Dodgers. I think that's kind of fun, kind of cute, huh? You know, why not? Definitely interested in the Dodgers here. This is not a complicated proposition. The splits are terrible for Lance Lynn against left-handed bats. So get your lefties in there. All right. Now, if you want to pivot and you want to find some spots that you think are going to be a little bit lower owned, I'm going to give you a couple ideas here. Some things that we have to talk about. Some things that we got to talk about. We got to talk about this Atlanta-Pittsburgh game. It's basically a pick 'em. Both sides of this one are very interesting to me, but I think the Atlanta stack is where I'm going because of cost and Glasnow's massive walk rate. You combine the walk rate, that gives you a lot of security, and the cheapness, the cheapies in Atlanta, very interested. Inciarte, Markakis, Kemp is a little bit too expensive, but then Matt Adams as well. And we heard that Matt Adams was going to play a lot. Matt Adams played, and Matt Adams hit a home run, and Matt Adams is 220. So very, very interested in Matt Adams tonight. I think people will chase him. I'm not going to lie. And I'm not going to chase the home run, but I am going to chase the fact that Glasnow walks everybody. And at 2,200, if he gets me a walk and an RBI single, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with 10 to 15 points from a guy who's 2,200. So very interested in Matt Adams in the Braves side of things. Like I mentioned on the Pittsburgh side of things, Cervelli and Freeze are the only guys who have, numbers against, BVP numbers against Sticky. That's it. I think the other spot that if you're looking, you know, and someone, one of the ways that I like to look for places where people are going to be, torn is I like to look at the spreads in the games that aren't so obvious as far as what Vegas is saying. And one of the best spots for that tonight is the Brewers-Blue Jays game. And I think that the Brewers at home, I think, is what I like the most against Biagini. Biagini got shelled last time out against the Braves, okay? First inning, he gives up, a ton of hard contact. You know, I just think that that was his worst inning of the game. But he doesn't get work very deep into games, and so, you know, I kind of am interested in some, you know, lower owned, underpriced Brewers perhaps in this spot. Give me some Thames. Give me some Shaw. I don't know. Thames has kind of been cooling off lately. But I don't know. It's an interesting spot. It's one of those, like, this is the exact reason why you play it, because other people are going, I don't really know what to make of it. And you go, well, you don't know what to make of it, and you're not going to play it. I'm going to commit to it. The Orioles-Twins game is very interesting. Again, if it plays, it just really doesn't look good. And I think in this case, you have to continue to ride a hot Max Kepler, whose price is down. He's up against a righty, like Dylan Bundy. I think you also look on the opposite side against Irvin Santana. You look at the lefties who clearly the lefties in Colorado got to Irvin Santana. You know, Chris Davis burned a lot of people last night. Go back to him. Why wouldn't you go back to, and then the last spot, one of my favorite spots, and you guys had to know I was going to talk about, well, actually I got a couple spots here I got to talk about. Whoops. My notes are even more notes than I want to, I realize. Boston against Cashner. Okay. We got to talk about this. I'm not into it. And I'm going to be honest with you. Boston has not shown a lot of power. There really has not shown a lot of power. The only guys that are interesting, I guess, are Benintendi and Mitch Moreland. And Cashner's numbers say that he's really bad. But I told you guys about how he has worked deeper into games. He's managed things. He's not given up runs. I just don't necessarily know. Like, when is this going to be the Cashner dumpster fire game? Maybe. Or is this going to be the Cashner continues to just kind of use the defense to his advantage? You know, all that kind of stuff. Is it interesting that Boston is back home? Yeah, it is. It's very interesting that they're back home. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I don't know what to do. They're kind of cold and they don't hit for power. Nobody's hitting home runs in that lineup. You know, they're hitting them very rarely. We thought Mookie was turning on. He just wasn't. Benintendi was super hot. And then it's just not my favorite spot. I got to be honest with you. I'll tell you, though, one of the spots that I really do like is Oakland against Urena. Urena struggles a lot. His xFIP, everything is elevated above 5 for sure. But he definitely gives it up to left-handed pitching. So Yonder Alonso, Lowry, Joyce, they're very interesting. You know, Chad Pinder is really hot right now. I don't think I would ever say that sentence, but Chad Pinder's hot. And Chris Davis, obviously, he's a reverse splits guy, and the numbers for fly balls are just too good. And you know, if you can get Chris Davis in there, you get Chris Davis in there. He's a Statcast darling. Last spot, and I said the Rays truther meeting was going to meet here shortly, versus Shoemaker. It's too much hard contact for Matt Shoemaker to not give it up. Now, I know I said that about Detroit last week. I said it. I'm going here again. I'm going back to the well. I like it when people say the Rays strike out a lot. They do strike out a lot. You're right. They do strike out a lot. But they also hit a shit ton of home runs. Okay? His xFIP is almost as bad as Cashner's. He gives up 40% hard contact. I just don't trust him. He kind of falls in that same bucket as Porcello. I just don't trust him. The wheels could fall off. When you let people hit you that hard, this is Major League Baseball. When you let people hit you that hard, things are going to go right for them rather than you. It's Dickerson, it's Kiermaier, it's Lomo, it's Rasmus. That's it. That's it for me. Dickerson, Kiermaier, Lomo, Rasmus. And you better believe I'm going to have one of those stacks. It's going to be owned below 10%. That's it, man. Okay. So let's go over to FanDuel and let's figure out if we can build a little lineup for you guys. All right. So I threw this one together before the show and I really, really kind of like how it came together. Not going to lie. Really seemed to work out well. I'm pretty pleased with it. It starts with Kershaw because just that's where I got to be. Got to be with Clayton Kershaw, okay? Starts with Kershaw, and then immediately when I went to Kershaw, I said, okay, where's the value on this slate? And the value is in Oakland, and the value is in Atlanta, from what I've understanding. And so I went to the Oakland and the Atlanta bats, and I tried to find some of the cheapest ones at the top of the order with upside. And from Atlanta, I found Matt Adams at first at 2,200 and Ender Inciarte. He'll be the leadoff at 3,000. Fine. Against Glasnow, who walks everybody, these guys they're safe. Feel good about that. And then in Oakland, you know, immediately go to Jed Lowry because he's always in the top of that order. He bats switch. Urania struggles with lefties, so you better believe he's going to bat lefty. Matt Joyce, another lefty who possibly, hopefully, fingers crossed here, gang, fingers crossed, is in the lineup because he is a platoon guy. We'll see. He could not be in the lineup, very possible, but he's a platoon guy and he could be out there against righties. So hopefully Matt Joyce is out there. And if Matt Joyce is out there, he's only 2,800. Okay. So there immediately, I got a ton of salary relief with Kershaw. Okay. So Matt Adams, Jed Lowry, Matt Joyce, Ender Inciarte. No, it's not a 1-4. But it's two pairs of guys who I know are going to be in the top 5 of their respective lineups who have power upside in good pitching matchups against guys who, you know, struggle with walks, struggle with contact, you know, and are inexpensive. That's a really good base there that I like. That's going to leave 4 more spots for me. 1 outfield, 3rd base, shortstop, catcher. So immediately I'm looking for other cheap guys that I know that are out there. And I look towards catcher to punt catcher, and some of the cheapest catchers on the slate, are the Arizona catchers. I don't know why, but they're all 2,400 and below. So I went Chris Iannetta, presuming that he would be back in the everyday lineup here. You know, Iannetta is definitely in an interesting spot. So Iannetta, and then, you know, I know Gregor Blanco is going to be batting leadoff before AJ Pollock, cause that's what he's been doing. He's 2,400. So I get two 2,400 bats. And then all of a sudden I find myself with plenty of money at third base and shortstop and enough money for Chris Owings and Jake Lamb, which is great. I mean, this is great to get exposure to this Arizona offense. Do I have Paul Goldschmidt? No, but I think it's going to be a very rare lineup where people are going to be able to afford Clayton Kershaw and Paul Goldschmidt. Okay. I got Jake Lamb. Fine. I will take that every single day. Jake Lamb at 4,100 against Dylan Covey in Chase Field. 100%. I love it. So this is a great little lineup. Kershaw, Chris Iannetta, Matt Adams, Jed Lowry, Jake Lamb, Chris Owings, Matt Joyce, Ender Inciarte, and Gregor Blanco. I have correlation with all of my players. I have good matchups for all of these guys. I'm top of the order with all of these guys. And I have Clayton Kershaw. I mean, I can't really ask for much more. I really can't. I really can't ask for much more. I think if I wanted to go down to a different pitcher and I wanted to spend down a little bit, you guys know I'm in love, not in love, but I like John Lester and Lance McCullers quite a bit. So let's see what McCullers does for me. And let's see if maybe just McCullers in there. McCullers, okay. Let's take this. This is interesting. Oh, yeah, this works really well. So all I did right here was I yanked out. Let's do that. Hold on. So I pulled out Kershaw. I put in McCullers, okay? And then I pull out Matt Adams, and I put in Goldschmidt. And so I basically take my favorite, all-time favorite, you know, Arizona stack, where I get Goldie, Lamb, Owings, and, you know, let's get Drury in there as well, just because he's cheap. And I'd love to get Yasmani Tomas as well. Yeah, actually, no, let's not go Drury. Let's go Yasmani Tomas. Let's get off of Owings. Maybe we can get a little bit of salary relief there. So now I have shortstop, outfield, and a catcher. Okay. Now I'm going to need some salary relief because working with McCullers in the Arizona stack, it's only $2,600 remaining, right? So again, I'm looking at some of, you know, who are my best targets as far as just, you know, bad pitchers. Well, Jordan Zimmermann comes to mind. Glasnow comes to mind again. You know, I could go to Dansby Swanson, you know, and Ender Inciarte there. And then I would have to punt one of my outfielders. You know, I could go to see if we can do anything with Houston here. I don't think I'm going to be able to do anything with Houston, to be honest with you. I think they're going to be too expensive. I mean, I know for a fact that Correa is going to be too expensive. But if we're looking at outfielders, yeah, Reddick is 33. I just can't do that. So, I mean, McCullers, it's interesting. McCullers with Goldie, Drury, Lamb, and Yasmani Tomas. You know, it's very expensive. It's like no doubt you're spending up, and I'm going to have to punt a little bit at shortstop, outfield, but I think you can do it with the combination of, you know, Atlanta, maybe if you get some value out of this, I mean, there's value in the St. Louis lineup, which is very interesting. They're all priced down again below 2,000 against Clayton Kershaw, which just is a crazy thing. I guess that it's not a fluke, but it's like, it's just, it's just crazy. I mean, Dexter Fowler, $1,600, and I saw Fantasy Forecast tweet out that he has BVP against him, which is just nuts. I mean, fine, I'll take Dexter Fowler for that, and then I can go ahead and, you know, I can punt catcher. Let me see if I punt catcher here with a guy like Tony Walters. Okay. And then at shortstop, I have $3,300. I could get Corey Seager and Jock Peterson. Corey Seager and Jock Jams. Where are you, Jock Jams? Or Cargo. Get Cargo in there as well. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of possibilities if you use one of those $1,600 Cardinals bats for sure. And I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, the chances that maybe somebody gets a single or maybe gets, you know, at $1,600, how much production do you want? You're getting the salary relief for access to upside. You know, and that's not a crazy strategy. You take one of those guys and you just kind of, you know, ride with it. You take the leadoff batter and Dexter Fowler and you just say he's going to get the most plate appearances. Maybe he gets a good one off of a reliever or something like that. Who knows? You know, it's just worth thinking about for sure. So anyway, this is an interesting spot. You can do McCullers with the Arizona stack. You know, obviously you could do McCullers with a Houston stack as well. You could probably do a Kershaw Houston stack as well. I'm going to probably have one of those out there. But look, you know, keep your eyes open for salary relief. And the salary relief exists in Oakland. It exists in, it'll probably exist in the Toronto lineup as well. It should exist in the Tampa Bay lineup. It will exist in the St. Louis being unbelievably cheap. You know, take one of those guys and you just hope for the best. You hope for the best against Kershaw. He's not superhuman. I mean, he is superhuman, but you know what I mean. All right, guys, that is it for me. Good luck in your contests. Stack the backs, stack the Astros, play Kershaw if you can. And, don't sleep on the White Sox. Don't sleep on the White Sox, okay? That's the best advice that I got for you. Good luck in your contest. Review, subscribe, and get into Patreon if you want to get into that cheat sheet.